This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 914. What's going on, everyone? This is David, your host of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. And boy, am I happy to be here today with my good buddy, Rob Abasola, as we pull back the curtains and show y'all what we got going on with our own real estate projects.
Good to be here once again, fellow host David. I'm excited about today. We have a good episode that we're calling Catching Up with the Cast, where we will give you all of the hot goss of everything going on in our real estate portfolios in 2024.
And nobody loves hot goss more than Robert. What's your favorite Ryan Gosling movie, by the way? Is it Behind the Pines? Was it Barbie?
I think I'm going to go Crazy Stupid Love, which I know is a bit unconventional for the Baby Goose gospel himself. I know a lot of people like The Notebook like yourself, but yeah, dude, Crazy Stupid Love's a good one.
That's right. On this episode, you're going to be learning about what Rob and I are doing in our own investment journeys to help inform you on yours. You're going to hear about how our portfolios are performing and what deals we're actually working on, a little bit into the day-to-day of how we're pulling off deals in 2024, what strategies we're using and the approaches that we're taking. So without further ado, let's get into today's show. All right, Rob, let's start with you. How is your portfolio performing right now?
You know what? It is actually looking pretty dang good relative to where we were a year ago. I've been talking about this for a bit now, reinvesting back into my properties, all that good stuff. And I'm finally starting to see the results on a lot of the different properties that I've put my money back into versus, you know, I think a year ago, I was really into this mindset of wanting to buy more and acquire more. But I've just tried to be disciplined and trying to do what we call portfolio revenue optimization. So I would say for the most part, other than maybe two properties, that one of them is down relatively significantly on the short-term rental side, still profitable, but just not making as much as it was in 2021. Surprise, surprise. I had another property that took maybe like a 2 or 3% dip, and everything else for the most part has either performed the same, if not significantly better, aka our Scottsdale property. That one has really, that one's turned a corner for us, which has been really, really fun to experience.
Yes, it has. And hopefully more corners to turn in the future as we just slowly and steady keep adding amenities. So on that topic, are you buying more properties right now, or are you increasing amenities like what we did in Scottsdale?
That's a very good question. The answer is yes, no, maybe everything. I actually just released a video on my YouTube channel called Why I Stopped Buying Real Estate and Why You Should Too. And basically, I talked about this idea that we all get caught up in door count, which we've all been there, like, right? Like, we all want more doors. We've gone to the real estate meetups and everyone's like, I've got 70 doors. And it's like, oh, I need more doors. But I've really been more into this idea of making meaningful doors. So yes, I am buying more properties. However, the properties that I'm buying right now are bigger development deals. For example, we're currently looking at like a $6 to $8 million hotel deal. That would be effectively a 22-door complex, much more meaningful to what I'm looking to do in the real estate world. I'm not necessarily taking down single family residences the way I once was. Instead of doing that, I am taking the same amount of money that I would typically have used to deploy into real estate and really just putting that back into my portfolio. We'll get into one of the deals that I'm talking about specifically where I did sink a pretty penny into it, but the results have been pretty astounding. What about you? Are you buying more properties, or what's your approach been?
Oh man, I bought a whole bunch of them at one time. You and I have talked about that.
Yeah.
Then I ran into a whole bunch of headaches with the city. Long, long story there, but I bought in really nice neighborhoods. The neighbors did not want rental properties in their neighborhoods, and I came across problems I haven't come across before. So I tried to get people in place to fix those problems. They didn't really get any progress made. I finally switched to new people. I'm on my third group of people and they're doing great. So these people have become employees of mine now. I pay them to be in-house property managers for my projects, and we are finally starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. I got maybe another couple months and I'll have all the permits cleared, the city good with everything. Basically, the neighbors all get together and they call the city and made it seem like I'm Blackstone coming in to buy up their neighborhoods. And when we finally were able to get in touch with the city officials, we're like, no, we're not at all. We're just regular people that are, you guys are crushing us with these permits that, I mean, basically, Rob, they were telling me that I needed to tear down structures on the property that had been there for 80 years.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Right. 80 years ago, someone didn't complete the permitting process. And so they want me to take down the duplex that's on the property. But good news is I'm turning the corner. And once that's done, it's kind of like, all right, now let's go clean up all the pieces, put everything back together, start rebuilding, and then look at start buying more properties. I think things are going to be looking good for me in the future. So in the market you're looking at today, what headwinds are you seeing that are slowing things down for investors?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think the big elephant in the room is interest rates. We are seeing them go down a little bit. And so as a result, I still think that we're a bit in a stalemate where people have really low interest rate homes and they don't want to sell them because then where are they going to go? You know, they're going to have to pay 5-7%. So I think that has ultimately kind of caused this really weird stalemate in the market. I think interest rates also make it really, really difficult to, I don't know, produce a meaningful cash on cash return, which isn't really the golden metric it used to be, but it's still very important to a lot of investors. And a lot of investors say, well, if I'm not going to make money on this deal, or if there's not enough room for error, then I'm just not going to do it. Other than that, I wouldn't say like too much more has changed, because I would honestly argue that competition has kind of subsided a little bit, and we're no longer in this era where you have to make an offer that's $50,000 over asking and waiving all your contingencies.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we have an inventory problem more than anything. There's not enough houses to buy. You mentioned what contributes to that. Part of it is lower interest rates, keeping people from putting their properties on the market. And that's further compounded by people don't want to sell their house because what are they going to buy? There's not much out there to buy. So there's just not a lot of options. So demand goes up, supply doesn't keep up. We're still not really building many houses. So the good news is you're not having to pay massively over asking price in a lot of markets like you were before. The bad news is it's very hard to get cash flow. So if you want to be buying real estate now, you kind of got to take a longer term approach. So you can't just set it and forget it. Now you have to always be thinking about, how do I get a leg up on the competition? What's going on in the algorithms? What are the people who are booking short-term rentals looking for? What are tenants and markets looking for? How do I get into a new niche like medium-term rentals? What markets does that work in? What markets are other investors missing? It's sort of becoming, in a sense, like a day trader in stocks. Like, I got to know everything going on in the market so that I can make these like minute quick adjustments, which is great, which is why podcasts like this are that much more valuable. Because if you don't know what's going on and your competition does, they're going to beat you.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to clarify too a little bit. I said that I'm not buying as much. I mean, I'm still buying for the purposes of cost segregations and tax benefits. I'm approaching real estate very differently. And so yes, 2024 is a little bit more competitive. I'm not going to say hedging my bets, but I'm changing my strategy. I'm doing a lot more off-market and creative finance deals, which is how I'm able to make things pencil for my personal strategy a lot more, I don't know, meaningfully. So we can actually talk about that in this next deal if you're down.
I was just getting ready to ask you, man. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but on the other side, Rob and I walk through details of real deals that we're doing in today's market. So stick around.
What's better than low money down? No money down. Now through Rent to Retirement, you can buy a brand new construction turnkey rental property for no money down. Wait, hold on. This can't be right. I need to double check with Zach, Rent to Retirement CEO.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Zach, how the heck are you selling turnkey rental properties for $0 down?
It's not that complicated, Rob. Rent to Retirement has new construction properties up to $20,000 below retail prices. We also have investor loans with rates as low as 3.99% and down payment options as low as 5% or sometimes even zero money down. You get all the cash flow, appreciation, and equity for as little as zero money down. That's an infinite return.
Oh, wait, let me get on this before we tell it to the whole Bigger Pockets audience.
Just head to renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com or text REI to 33777. That's REI to 33777 to learn more about how you can get started investing with no money down today.
Get your next new construction property at a steep discount or invest with no money down. Head to renttoretirement.com today. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder Dave Van Horn wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today. Spring is here, and you know what that means. Fresh flowers, fresh air,
fresh starts. So why not take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security? SimpliSafe protects my home during the busy spring season when I'm out leveling up my portfolio. But you know why I really love SimpliSafe? Because it's very easy to install. As a matter of fact, I set up my entire system, my personal home, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in less than 30 minutes. They've got a super simple app, as whenever we're on vacation, we have friends come by the house to water the plants, check on the house, whatever it is. We're able to turn off our alarm right before our friends get to the house and turn it on right after they leave instantly. SimpliSafe offers a wide variety of high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods. They've got indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day, and I challenge you to figure out what you can buy for less than $1 a day. And with the 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and we want you to have it too. So go get 20% off of your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. That's simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Welcome back, friends, frenemies, investors, and everyone in between. David and I are catching up on what's working for us in our portfolios today, specifically what we're learning from our deals right now that you can apply right at home.
That's right. And you're up first in the hot seat, Rob. Tell us about the deal that you are calling the pink pickle.
Okay, so the latest deal that I've finished, I started this back in May. So it's honestly, it's taken a little bit of time, but this is in Austin, Texas. The strategy that I used to acquire this property was creative finance. It was actually kind of a mixture of strategies. So I was able to acquire this creative finance, and it basically turned into what we call a burster here at Bigger Pockets, which is a full-on renovation, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. That's the typical method, but I bought it, rehabbed it, short-term rented it, and now I'm probably going to refi and do that strategy. But it's been a whole journey for me, man. I spent $440,000 for this specific property. I invested pretty heavily into the design of it. I would say the ARV on this property is in the neighborhood of $700,000, which actually isn't like a, I know that sounds like a really big increase in value, which it is, but I also invested a significant amount of money into this property. So I would say it's actually probably a little closer to a wash. I'd turn a small profit if I were to go out and sell it, but I've had some bumps and bruises on this one. I'll pause for questions.
All right. So let's get into this thing. And by the way, bumps and bruises are not uncommon in this market. I basically was in a fiery dumpster fire of a car crash. So don't feel bad, Rob, because it happens to the best of us. All right. I'm sure knowing you that you bought a short-term rental, tell me what your intention was going into this property.
Yeah. So this one was supposed to be a nice little creative finance flip. It's called a subtail, where you basically creatively finance the property while you rehab it and then you retail it and sell it. So I came into this thinking it was going to be a flip and that I was going to make, you know, I don't know, $50,000 on it, 75, something like that. That was the initial idea. As I got into the flip, a lot of skeletons in the closet, if you will, and in between the studs and 2x4s, and pretty much everything was wrong with this house.
Side note, we may need to rename this podcast Between the Studs. You just gave me a great idea. Like Between Two Ferns,
yeah.
Between Two Studs could become the new name for the Bigger Podcast.
That'll be our YouTube series.
Yes. All right. As you were.
Yeah. So it was meant to be a flip. And I was going to come into this thing and I was going to have to invest, you know, I think it was initially the budget was like 100. And the upside was I was going to make like up to $100,000 on the exit for this. Well, the Austin market really corrected itself very quickly in the time that I owned this property. And honestly, I'm kind of glad because I waited about a month and a half before I started this flip. And had I started immediately, I would have been in the middle of like a strategy that wasn't going to work, because what I found out with this specific property was basically the money I was going to have to spend a ton of money to break even on it. And I was like, dang, that's never a good place to be, having to spend $100,000 to just make your money back. And so I quickly thought to myself, well, listen, how can I take a losing situation and turn it into a winning situation? How do I make lemonade out of lemons? And so I just decided, well, hey, I'm rehabbing this house. I'm going to make it super nice. Why don't I just make it like a super amazing short-term rental, which is eventually what this property ended up becoming. And I ended up really creating what I think is something, I think it's very special. We call it the pink pickle. It's a bachelorette party house in Austin, Texas. If anybody wants to check it out, you can go to pinkpickleatx.com. And it's full. I mean, it's very pink. Very, 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 very pink. But it really hits on one avatar.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
Super pink.
It is. But it's amazing, man. And it's honestly like been a very creative experience for me to kind of do this. And I've never done anything like it. So it's actually turned out to be what I think will be the coolest property in my portfolio.
All right. I'm going to make you give us a little more detail here, right?
Okay.
Other than just pink, like tell me what's in these rooms. Tell me what you got hanging on the walls. Tell me about any extra design features you brought in. Walk me through this.
Well, you know, I love my pickleball, right? So we've got a hot pink pickleball court in the backyard. We've created an amazing above ground pool. So a lot of people ask like, how can I add value? Pools add a lot of value on the short-term rental side of things, but I didn't want to spend $100,000 on a pool. So what we did is we built an above ground pool and we built this whole wraparound wood deck around it. And it looks like a really premium, like really, really nice pool, dude. I can't believe we pulled this off for like $15,000. So now we got an amazing pool. We have a ton of murals. One of the murals says like, howdy y'all. Another one says like, it's not my first rodeo. Yeah, we've got neon lights that say Cosmic Cowgirl. And then like, obviously all of these murals are like a mixture of hot pink and purple and all that stuff. And one of them says, lucky you. But I would say the most insane feature on this entire property, I don't know if you saw it, but well, first of all, there's a pink dinosaur in the backyard. We found it at like a junker yard and we went and it was green and we
didn't see this.
Yeah. We basically painted it like hot pink. That was cool. But the most insane feature at this property is there's a red button when you walk in with a giant sign that says, do not push this button.
Don't push this.
Yeah. And then the moment you push the button, the lights turn off, a disco ball starts turning, and then ABBA Dancing Queen starts playing for 1 minute and you can't stop it. So the idea is it's our hype button. So, you know, bachelorettes come in and they're like, oh, we need to get hyped up. And they push this button and then boom, like they can dance for a minute and then leave the house. So we have a lot of like things like that.
How'd you pick Dancing Queen to be the song that played?
Well, you know what? I was advocating for Shania Twain.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Yeah, that one. Uh-huh. Because that's my song right there. But I interviewed several ladies. I asked them for their opinions and they all agree that ABBA is just very iconic to that demographic. So, you know, hey, I had to listen to my avatar, you know?
Let me know in the comments, everybody, what song you would have put had this been your property and you wanted something to come on. I'm surprised You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman didn't make the short list there. All right. So you also have pink felt on your pool table. You have cowboy hats hung on the white wall. Look like you have kind of like a bar set up with like a hole in the drywall between rooms. I did something very similar on a cabin of mine in Blue Ridge, Georgia, where I converted a garage and I basically had like a wall like separating two rooms, and it has to be there because there's a beam so you can't get rid of the wall. But I did what you did. I punched a big hole in the wall and then I put a bar so you could kind of pass through drinks between the two spaces, right? Can you share what you did there?
Yeah, so that was an idea for my contractor. And he was basically like, hey, man, your space is kind of closed, but I think if we knock this down, it is a load-bearing wall. We'll have to put in a beam. But he was like, it would completely open up the space. And it wasn't really a cheap thing for him to do, but we all agreed it needed to be done. And it really just changed. I mean, I would live in this house now. It's absolutely amazing. In that same room, we've basically created an open game room concept. But like you said, it's got a pink pool table on it. And then there's what we call a selfie vanity station. So we have like a wall that's all pink wallpaper with about 6 or 7 mirrors and 6 or 7 bar stools where all the ladies and they can get ready for a night on the town to go to 6th Street in Austin. So really, I've gotten so much creative sort of fulfillment from this because I've never really approached my Airbnbs with really just hammering down on who that avatar is. And that's something that I'm starting to discover as well with the whole like pickleball court in Scottsdale. Our avatar there is the pickleball player and they pay a lot of money for the three courts.
Oh, that's the play on words. The pink pickle, pickleball.
That's one of the play on words, yes.
Yeah.
there are a few.
We'll leave it there. Now I'm kind of jealous that you got a pink property. I need like the green cucumber, the greenhouse. I need one of my own to make it all green.
The dill pickle.
There you go. The disco ball makes green lights go around and you've got like artificial astroturf everywhere. What song would play? Eye of the Tiger turns on when you push the button.
I love it, man. Yeah, that'd be fun. But yeah, man, the results, it's a little early to say, but we could dive into that and then get into your deal if you're cool with that.
Well, let's hear, is it performing yet? Do you have it on the market? How's it doing?
I do. So we just listed it. I just checked April. We have about $7,800 on the books. My entire mortgage and everything on this property is about $3,000. So we initially, before all the renovations, if we just made it a cute Airbnb, like, you know, just doing my typical style, it was slated to make between like 40 to 60, probably around that $50,000 range. And now as a result to all of this, we think it'll do 100K plus. So we've effectively added $20,000, $30,000 to the bottom line, which will be very significant from a cash flow perspective.
Congrats, man. That's awesome. Pink Pickle ATX, if you guys want to check that out and get some inspiration for your own designs. And if you're wondering why ATX, is because that's how people like Rob from Texas that want to look cool talk about their hometowns. He lives in HTX, ATX. I don't know if they call it. Do they call Dallas DTX?
No, but I do travel to Portland, which is PDX.
There you go.
I've actually only been there one time, but they do follow the same naming convention.
Getting both useful and useless information all on the same podcast while you are entertained and educated.
Okay, I can't wait to hear the details of your deal, specifically how you added, I don't know, $500,000 of equity with just $150,000 of work right after the break. We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability. With Plaid certified tenant income and assets reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. All tenant screening and verification is paid by the tenant and done through the desktop and mobile app. It's time to say goodbye to gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. And as a matter of fact, all BiggerPockets pros have Rent Ready included in your pro membership. If you're not a pro, Rent Ready is offering you 50% off of their annual plan. New customers visit rentready.com and use code BP2024. That's RENTREDI.com using code BP2024. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, in the year 2024 to save 50% off of 1 year of Rent Ready. Real estate investing is great, but for some, the tenant phone calls and clogged toilets aren't all that attractive. So how do you invest in real estate without getting your hands dirty? Invest for truly passive income with Pine Financial Group. Pine's mortgage fund offers a targeted 8% preferred return and an attractive profit split with 70% of net profits going to the investors. You'll earn passive income by participating in lending to house flippers. And it's secure because senior lien holders, that's you, are first in line to get paid. Their rigorous underwriting process and the backing of a physical asset mitigate downside risk. Plus, by investing with Pine Financial Group, you contribute to the revitalization of communities by directing your funds from Wall Street to Main Street and supporting local economies. The investment is reserved for accredited investors. Don't miss this opportunity to back Main Street over Wall Street and start earning passive real estate income. Learn more about investing with Pine at pinefinancialgroup.com/BP. pinefinancialgroup.com/BP. As home prices and interest rates continue to rise and inventory levels dip, it's getting harder to find quality flips and wholesale deals. When there's not enough on-market inventory to go around, it's time to start looking off-market. Lucky for you, there are millions of homeowners nationwide who own a property they need to get off their hands. I got two words for you, my friend. PropStream it. PropStream is the leading real estate data provider and recognized as a Tech 100 honoree by Housing Wire for the fourth consecutive year. With PropStream, you can search over 155 million properties nationwide using 120-plus search filters like pre-foreclosure, bankruptcy, pre-probate, failed listings, and more to help you find motivated sellers in seconds. PropStream offers both public record data and an MLS sales estimate that's over 99% accurate to help you get the most accurate comps even in non-disclosure states. PropStream also provides lead automation, skip tracing, and a marketing suite with emails, postcards, and custom landing pages to close more deals efficiently. Get started today with their 7-day free trial and get 50 leads for free. Head on over to www.propstream.com/BP. That's www.propstream.com/BP.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Are you about to sell a property? Wait like 60 seconds because this could save you thousands. Our friends at 1031 Pros have saved their clients more than $500 million, with a B, in taxes with 1031 tax-deferred exchanges. With the 1031 exchange, you can say goodbye to the huge capital gains taxes when selling and roll your property's profit into another investment that could make you even more. Whether you're an individual investor, part of a larger group, or a title or real estate agent, 1031 Pros is ready to help. Trust me, I've done 1031 exchanges on multiple properties before, and it has saved me tens of thousands in taxes, if not more. With over 30 years of experience, 1031 Pros has handled over 20,000 audit-free exchanges. And they specialize in all types of exchanges: delayed, simultaneous, reverse, and improvement exchanges in all 50 states. And right now, Bigger Pockets listeners can get $250 off any exchange by visiting my1031pros.com/BP. That's my1031pros.com/BP to get $250 off today. Oh, and make sure to mention Bigger Pockets when you call. They take care of our people over there.
And welcome back. Rob and I are here walking you through what's working for us in today's market. So let's jump back in.
Okay. So I know you've got a deal that you've been working on this past year. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I got a couple of them. So the one we're going to talk about today is in the East Bay of California, a city called Castro Valley. This is one of the nicer cities in the Bay Area. And if you don't know the San Francisco Bay Area dynamics, it's more than just the city of San Francisco. There's a ton of small cities that surround it that make it up. You basically have polarized options. You have pretty expensive real estate that usually has high crime, rough tenant bases, not very desirable, or you have relatively safe and stupid expensive. There is nothing in the middle out here. So Castro Valley would fall into that relatively safe, but stupid expensive. The school scores are going to be high. The crime is going to be low. You're getting a lot of professionals that are there. They have some really nice hospitals. It's a good area, but you can't get into that thing for less than $1 million. Like, every house pretty much is over $1 million. Well, I found this one when rates were just starting to go up, and I saw that it was a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, about 1,100 square feet. It was a very small property. The floor plan was a little odd. So you have to walk up the stairs to go into the house. All the houses on this street were built on raised foundations. They basically had like a bit, like they were all on top of a big basement, but the garage itself was at floor level because you can't have a raised garage. So the idea would be you drive in, you park your car in the garage, and you have to walk out of the garage and go up the stairs to get to your house. Or you go from the garage into a basement and then up a different set of stairs to get into the interior of the house. Well, the house was sitting on the market at $950,000 and nobody was biting because it was just this weird floor plan. It had one bathroom and it wasn't that big. It's a small house. And for 3 bedrooms, it's very difficult to have only one bathroom. So they had just reduced the price to $850,000 and they thought they were going to get a bidding war. Well, I watched it after they reduced it about 8 days in. To me, that's like this perfect period of time. If you go before 7 days have passed from a price reduction, the seller's expectations are still, I'm going to get several offers and I'm going to bid it right back up to the price I wanted. If you wait longer than that, you're at risk of someone else coming in to buy it. So I jumped in right at 8 days and I talked to the listing agent and said, do you have any offers? She said, no, we got several people looking, which is realtor speak for, please write an offer. I just don't want to admit that that's the case we're at. There's always going to be several people looking. So I wrote the offer for, it was listed, I think, at $850,000. I wrote it at $825,000 with $30,000 in closing costs. So net, it's going to be a little bit less than 800.
So like 795 or so, yeah, somewhere in
that's
there?
About okay. where the net would be. They countered back, and then we went back and forth, and we settled on 830 with 25,000 in closing costs. So right about 805. Now, the plan for this property was that there was some square footage that wasn't included in the listing. It had a sunroom in the back, and it also had in that basement, it had a part of the basement that was finished. It had like a bedroom that they had created to be an office. So it had drywall, it had a window, it had finished floors, and they'd put a closet in there. It had electrical run to it. It looked like a regular bedroom. You just get into it by walking through a dirty basement. It was weird. And then the area where the stairs went down from the house, they had also put laundry in. So they finished that area too. The rest of the basement was just, you know, exposed wooden beams and electrical, and the framing was all done. And then you have like this old garage. Well, I took that room that was in the back of the house. I guess I didn't mention that. There was a room in the back of the house. It was kind of like right off the kitchen. It was an odd place for it. And then they had a sunroom in the back of the home that wasn't included in the square footage. I basically combined the sunroom with that bedroom that was in the back and created a one bedroom unit, like a junior ADU right off the back. And I was able to put a bathroom and a kitchenette in that, as well as its own laundry. So that's like a little studio type of a property, a one bedroom unit.
So really fast, tell me, because ADUs, they're very popular in California, accessory dwelling unit. You just said a junior, which is also known as a JADU.
Yes, sir.
What is the distinguishing factor between both?
Yeah, so an ADU is usually detached. It's not connected to the property. It's like a standalone structure. And then a junior ADU has to be attached to the main property. It's kind of like a little house tumor.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. So I used to have what's called like a bonus room under my house that we would rent. I've chosen to not rent it anymore, but what a lot of people have mentioned is, yeah, I should just convert it to a JADU and get it all the paperwork ready to rock. Cause that's very common in the Los Angeles area as a bonus room. But JADU, that's basically if you want to like convert like a garage or something like that too, right?
Same idea. Yeah. The garage would be attached to the house. That's a JADU. Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. Sorry. I didn't mean to derail us, but some people at home may not know these strategies.
That's why you're here, my man. Appreciate you. So we had that one bedroom unit that we converted in the back of the house. I took one of the bedrooms in the main house, the one that was right off the kitchen, because it's weird to have a bedroom right off the kitchen. And I took it off of the main property, put it in that back one, which left me with two bedrooms and one bathroom in the main house. And then I remodeled the kitchen. So I just made it look nicer. Now I have the appropriate square footage for a two bedroom unit. I've got a full family room, fireplace, dining room, remodeled kitchen, and a bathroom with its own laundry. That's like the main house, about 1,150 square feet. I've got that one bedroom in the back, and then I finished the basement and I included the attached garage. So you don't really need garage parking that bad if the property has enough space, because in California, it doesn't rain a ton. We don't get snow. We don't have a lot of inclement weather. You could survive without a garage, especially if you're a tenant. You may be renting a car. It's not your own car. So I took the garage area and I finished it, and I combined it with the rest of the basement and the room that was already down there that already had laundry. And I built a bathroom and a kitchenette, and I ended up with basically a three bedroom, one bathroom additional unit in the basement. Now, all of this work more than doubled the square footage of this little property that was too little for anybody else to want down there. And I ended up with three units that can all be rented separately. So the plan is that small one bedroom and the main house two bedroom, I rent out to traveling nurses. There's hospitals on that same street. So whenever they have placement agencies that need to put a nurse somewhere, this is like the first place that pops up for them. And then I rent out the basement unit as its own unit to a traditional person who just wants a place to live, like somebody with a family that's going to want the additional bedrooms and doesn't mind sharing a bathroom because they're all a family.
Okay, cool. So what was the square footage going into this property that was not captured in the, you know, in the appraiser's office?
So it was listed as, I believe, 1150. And then there was probably like about 700 square feet that wasn't included in the back of the house. That was the sunroom. And then there was another 1300 in the basement area that wasn't included because it hadn't been developed yet.
Wow. Okay. So you mentioned you bought this for $795,000. It was about 1150 square feet. So that comes out to roughly $691 a square foot. Does it work? Can you just extrapolate that out or not necessarily? Like if you doubled your square footage, is every square foot that you add to that property going to be worth that $691? Is that how you're able to increase the value?
It's close to it, but not the full 690. Like that, the basement that was converted won't be worth as much as the main house. It's not as desirable. The ceiling's a little bit lower. It's kind of a weird way to get into that basement because I had to create separate entrances for all the units. So you have to walk into the backyard, but it's still close, right? Maybe you're adding another $550 a square foot. So you took a property that was like 1150 square feet and you bumped that thing up to like 3000 square feet. And it's in an area where real estate was already really expensive.
Yeah, man. That's significant. So now the ARV, the after repair value, comes out to what with all the square footage?
It's about 1.3.
Wow. Okay. So you've added pretty close to $500,000 of equity. Somewhere in there.
Yeah. And it costs about $150,000 or so to do that work.
Dude, that is crazy. Now, obviously, this goes into several strategies, but the idea here is you'll do a cash out refi, pull your money out, and then run them as rentals.
That's right. There's a bear, and I got three separate rentals, and I'll have two different strategies. So two of them will be medium term rentals, and then the basement will be a traditional rental.
Do you think you'll get all of your, I mean, it sounds like it based on the ARV, but it sounds you'll get most of your money, if not all of it, out of this deal?
If I had wanted to, what hurt me was rates went up after I bought it. So once it was finished, I had decided, look, I don't want to pull all my money out of the deal because I don't like how the rates went. So I could have, yes, got it all out. I just didn't do that.
Yeah, because then the interest rates would have maybe made the cash flow not as appetizing.
Yep, that's exactly right. But this is a great example of how in today's market, you can't just try to buy something out of the box. With your pink pickle, you went in there and you put work into thinking about this. You hired a designer. You were intimately involved in the creation of this project and how it needed to look. You said, hey, as it stands, it would make this much, but if I do this, I can double how much it makes. Same for me. I saw potential in a property that other people missed. I took advantage of a property that was sitting on the market longer than it normally would have because of what we call functional obsolescence in the real estate space. And then because I listened to the Bigger Pockets podcast, I knew about medium-term rentals and traditional rentals. I had all these tools that I could pull out of my tool belt to make a deal work just like you.
Very cool, man. Yeah, you know, if I'm being totally honest, even on the pink pickle, like I could cash out refi and get a pretty significant amount of money back, but I don't need to. And I really like that it's going to be a crazy cash flow machine the way it is. So honestly, I might just wait it out. And if I decide in a few months, if interest rates are appetizing enough for me, I'll do the cash out and complete the burr. But for now, I just really like that I've created a property that will make pretty dang good cash flow. So it sounds like this property that you're doing is also going to be a cash flow machine too. It's great. Congrats.
That's it. And when they're in good areas like this, they're going to appreciate faster than what the national average does. And in the future, we'll be looking better. I like your advice there that you don't have to pull your money out on a burr. You're not losing the ability to do it. You're just not doing it yet. If another opportunity comes out, you need some cash, that's when you would go back and complete the burr and put it into the next deal. But if there's nothing else available, just let it sit there and have a lower mortgage and have it cash flow stronger.
Yep. That's where I'm at. I'm just, I don't mind having equity at this time. Like I've worked so hard with my whole portfolio to get to optimize cash flow. That's working for me. So I'm happy to just kind of hang and be more, a little bit more methodical as we kind of get into the brunt of 2024. Cause I've got some things I want to do. Like I said, I'm doing some developments over here and looking at buying some stuff and going to the dark side of hotels. So yeah, man, we'll have to do another one of these pretty soon.
Yes, sir. And please go leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast and follow us on the Apple and Spotify apps. Appreciate everybody. Thanks for being here today. Keep an eye out for the next episode of the Bigger Pockets podcast. And Rob and I should be sharing more in the future. If you'd like to know more about Rob or I, you can get our personal information in the show notes. And don't forget that Bigger Pockets has an incredible full website. You can check out more information. This is David Green for Rob, the Pink Pickle Prince Abasolo, signing off.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With Bigger Pockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.